The scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning.
Well, good morning again, and good morning, Bass Online. So we've been talking about having no fear, being in a fearless state, but that's not the reality of life, is that there are fears. We have fears. Anyone want to yell out something that they are deathly afraid of?
Critters, snakes, kookaburras.
Critters, snakes and kookaburras. For everyone online, that was Wes.
No, elections.
Barry is also scared of critters, snakes and kookaburras.
Why not kookaburras?
Not kookaburras. We've got a bandsman scared of elections.
Geckos.
Frogs. Oh, yes, there are several frog haters. Fire. Yes. Anyone in the back? Oh, we've just got brave soldiers in the back. Logan's scared of magpies. Who said that? Oh, Logan. Logan's scared of clowns. Who's not scared of clowns? That's the question. Hideous. What was that one? Craig in the back. My wife, Craig, is a smart man. I am terrified beyond words of cockroaches. How small are they? Small. Filth. Small filth. That crawl and are loud and yucky. And actually talking about it's making me feel sick. Sorry? Crunchy when you eat them? I suggest a different diet, Ange. We all are afraid of one thing or another. Some people are afraid of public speaking. Imagine that's such a thing. And apparently statistics show people would rather be in the coffin than giving the eulogy at a funeral. This is a true stat. How horrendous. People hate public speaking that much. They would rather be dead. I don't obviously hate it that much, but I'm not a super fan. I just don't hate it that much. Well, today is week 3 of I'm Not Afraid. As we've just seen, fear takes on many faces. It can be a literal thing that you're scared of. I'm scared of flooding now. I was in a traumatic event that you were all in, but I didn't cope with the flooding in Brisbane very well. So horrible. Can't see flooding now. Can't talk about it either, obviously. Things frighten us because we are merely human. They take on the face of being a bit startled, right up to having serious anxiety about a thing. I insisted the other night that Wes killed a massive cockroach that ran across the toilet area the other night when we were up here working. He didn't. He looked at it, he laughed at me, and he let it get away. This is unacceptable. I was frightened. I remember that next time a kookaburra is near me. We've read from the Psalms this morning, and many of the Psalms are very encouraging. They encourage us along the way. But right alongside those encouragements comes the true journey of King David and all of his humanity and all of his failings and all of his fears. Now, when we're talking about fears and other people, isn't it easier to be the person giving the encouragement than the person to receive the encouragement? It's only a cockroach, Debbie. It's fine. Unless you are terrified of it. So in my house, when I was a kid, my sister killed all the cockroaches and I killed all the spiders. It was a fair trade-off. It's good. It worked well. Unfortunately for all humans, life is a series of ups and downs. Not everything can go along smoothly all of the time. That's just not going to happen. We face things we'd rather not face. We deal with things that we wish hadn't happened or would stop happening. We try to do it alone, do we not? We try to do it alone. We are predictable like that. And it brings up all kinds of fears and anxieties for us. It's much easier to tell somebody else to trust in God than to trust in God yourself, than to take your own advice. I don't know anybody that takes their own advice. Reminds me of Alice in Wonderland. I give myself such good advice, but I very seldom take it. That's what she says. Who's ever had surgery? Show of hands. You might want to click a hands up online if you're online. Surgery. We've all had surgery. Actually, some of us haven't. A lot of people here have had surgery. But when it's happening to someone else, oh, it's fine. Unless it's happening to you, then it's a major surgery and it's a catastrophe and you could die and all sorts of things could happen. But if you're encouraging somebody else who's having the same surgery, it's fine. Just trust in God and you're going to be fine. Because it's easier, isn't it, to help someone else deal with their fear than to deal with your own. It's very easy to say, just trust in the Lord. Bit of Christianese there. Trust in the Lord, it'll be all fine. But what happens when you don't have a paycheck coming in anymore? Can you trust in God there? What happens when you're battling an illness? Can you trust in God there? When you feel alone, isolated, and everything you thought that was stable has now become unstable, how does your trust fare then? Do you trust God in those moments of great fear? How do you trust God when kids are rebelling? How do you trust God when someone you love gets very ill? How do you trust God when you lose your job? How do you trust God when you're scared for your future? How do you trust God when you are running out of toilet paper? We didn't. All good. Anytime life is painful, and it's a different time for everyone, everyone's got a different painful moment. Anytime we feel anxious, anytime we feel alone, anytime we feel afraid, what do we do? What is our go-to? Do we immediately run to God and say, I feel so alone? Do we immediately run to God and say, I feel really frightened, upset, angry? I'm going to go out there and say, nope. He's kind of second and third down. We immediately get this panic-stricken brain that says, I can fix this, I can fix this. And then we realize we can't fix this without God. Reading more scripture. If you're not a big scripture reader, these are the moments when more scripture reading is beneficial. It does your soul good when you're feeling overwhelmed. And encouraging scriptures like the Psalms, they boost you up. They give you hope. If somebody like David can be called a man after God's own heart, surely we can. We can look to that as well. There is something about reading God's truth that is very alive and peaceful, very comforting. And the book of Psalms brings us that solace when our souls are worried and wearied. Across the last year, there have been times, I'm sure, when each one of us have worried about a different part of what's going on for our world. And we will have worried for different reasons because we're all individual. And how do we trust the Lord when our worries start to consume us? The Bible says worrying about something will not fix it. And it says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. you need to be worried about giving it to God. How do we trust in the Lord? How? Is it a physical thing? Is it just prayer? How do we trust in the Lord? The words of David in Psalms 9, which Wes read for us this morning, verses 9 and 10 say, "The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you." Those words alone are comforting. If you've ever been not picked up on time, you start to panic instantly. They've forgotten me. They're lost. I'm now lost. I'm standing in the middle of the city. No idea where I am. No one's coming to get me. 5 seconds later, somebody turns up and you're all fine. But when I first moved to Canberra, my very first appointment, I just was so stupid and just drove to Canberra. What did I think was going to happen when I got there and I had no address? Which is what happened. I had no address. There were no mobile phones. There was no GPS. I had to find a phone box and ring my mum. She fixed it. Of course, she's my mum. But in my time of thinking I had this and I drove to Canberra from Queensland, I trusted that God would get me to Canberra. But what after that? Nothing. Panic. Confusion. I hadn't planned well, and I hadn't prayed either. The Lord will not abandon those who search for Him. Sometimes if things get all dark and cloudy, searching for God is what we find ourselves doing. Those who know your name trust you. Which makes sense, doesn't it? You don't trust somebody you don't know. That's our normal safety. We don't trust people we don't know. We tell our kids, don't we? Don't speak to anybody you don't know. Which was very tough going with Logan. Don't speak to anybody you don't know. Knowing somebody by name, though, doesn't necessarily mean you know them well. You just know their name. For example, we have a lady in the building this morning. I know her name. I won't say it because we're online now. But I know her name, but I don't know her well because she's a friend of a friend. The thing that distinguishes the relationship is what name you call a person. For example, my sister's name is Sabrina. And all of her life, she's younger than me, so all of her life, I've called her Rena or Reen. We call her husband Jason just Jay. The kids call him Uncle JJ. The affection and depth of relationship has brought about those pet names. I've known my brother-in-law since he was about 15 or 16. I don't remember. One of those things. But my sister informs me last time I saw her, we've known him 27 years. So he gets a pet name. As you know, and online you know, my name is Debbie. And my sister has always called me Debbie. And she is one of very few people in my family who use my full name. So in this regard, her use of my full name is a term of endearment to me. Because everyone else calls me Deb. My dad calls me Reen Debbie because, you know, there's two of us. And he calls her Deb Reena. But he gets there. So have a little think about the people in your direct circle. Do you have a name for them? Do you call them something special when it's just you and them? Do you have a name for God? Do you call God something other than God? I've only ever been very, very comfortable with the formal names for God, like Heavenly Father and Father God. I don't do Dad for God. I don't do any of that. I don't sit comfortably in very informal spaces of calling God those names. But it doesn't mean for me a formal name is less intimate. I believe in giving God the ultimate respect, and that's how it fits for me personally. You might feel very differently about that. You might feel comfortable to call him any number of names that you want to. It just means your intimate relationship with God is close. You have a name for him. And of course, He knows you. So what do you call God? Don't sing it out. No need for that. Just think. What do you call God? Even at home in private prayer, I pray Heavenly Father or Father God. David said to God, those who know your name trust in you. So we know the name of God and all that comes from that. It's not just God, but it's God and all of the arrows that point off his name, which mean everything that encompasses him. And how do you grow to trust in God? To get to know his name? To get to connect on a very close level with him? You get to know his character. From Psalm 22, verse 19, David says this of God, you are my strength. Is that the name you give God? Is God your strength? When you've reached the end of your own strength, is it God's strength that you lean on? And have you ever wondered why you wait until the end of your own strength to start using God's instead of just using God's in the first place? I mean, it'd be easier, wouldn't it? But we don't, do we? We use our own. Is God your strength? Those who trust in his name, those who trust in his name, trust in him. It's his name. You don't see many kindergarten kids lining up called God or Jesus. We don't do that. It's his name. It's his very own name. Psalm 31 verse 5 says, I entrust my spirit into your hand. You are a faithful God. So he is strength. He is faithfulness. And there are very few things in life that will always be faithful. Human beings will always let you down for one reason or another. And most often it's not on purpose, but it happens. The frailty of humanity. Circumstances will continue to disappoint us. How many people had a holiday booked this year? All gone, all over, no holidays for anyone. Sorry, Jeff. All over. Circumstances will continue to disappoint, but who was still here for us? God. Insert the name that you find most comfortable. There is good news. There's always good news. I mean, it's called the good news, isn't it? Apostle Paul told us in the New Testament that even when we are faithless, God is faithful because he can never disown himself. He is faithfulness. He is strength. He doesn't have strength. He is strength. He doesn't have faithfulness. He is faithfulness. Have you ever let God down? Ooh, got one nod, got a few contemplative looks. We've all let God down, haven't we? We've let God down. And one way or another, we will again. This is us, we will again. But thanks to the faithfulness and strength of God, he will always forgive. A true blessing to us. We can always be forgiven because God is forgiveness. He can't go against himself. His word is true. He is always faithful in every single way. Psalm 65 verse 5 says, you, God, faithfully answer prayers. Now, we've talked about answered prayers in different sermons throughout the years, and sometimes he says no, like a good father would. When you're asking for things that you shouldn't have, don't need, isn't necessary, isn't a blessing to your life, but it's still an answer, isn't it? Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says not now. And sometimes I've noticed lately, the thing that you've prayed for, he will say, you need to help somebody else with that same thing. The thing you want, you need to help somebody else with that. That's not for you. That's for them. He is our hope. Hope is a word that can be easily splashed around and lose its meaning. It's like when you say a word too many times, you kind of can't spell it anymore, it sounds stupid. Hope is starting to get a bit that way. Ooh, I hope it rains. I hope chickens for dinner. I hope there's lollies in the back of the cupboard that just fell there. I might check when I get home, maybe. But God is hope in much the same way as He is faithfulness and He is strength and He is forgiveness. Our hope is not in a person or in a leader or a government or a system or even in medicine. Our hope is in an all-powerful, ever-present, all-knowing God who spoke and created the very universe. Our hope is God. Isaac said in the Old Testament, those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Has anyone ever run a marathon here? Marathon runners, online marathon runners, hands up on the chat page. No, absolutely not. As you know, I don't enjoy exercise. I even hate walking. But we're talking about a spiritual journey, aren't we? We will run in our spiritual journey and we will not grow weary. We will walk in our spiritual life and we will not be faint. We will soar on wings like eagles because He is our God. And then in James it says, every time, any time you're hurting, every time and any time you're afraid, every time and any time you feel unsettled or unsure, any time you draw near to God, He will always draw near to you and He will never forsake you. The fact remains, I had heard this when I was a kid. If you feel like God is far away, who do you think moved? God is ever present, so He can't move away from us. God isn't just ready to forgive, He's ready to love. So God is also love. Love isn't just something He does, it's something He is. It's in His nature, and there's nothing that you can do to get Him to love you more or get Him to love you less. We're silly like that. We'll do something that we didn't mean to do. We get all guilt-ridden and all silly, and we think we don't deserve to be loved. Well, I'm going to tell you today that's not your call to make. That is God's, and the call is, I will love you anyway. He just loves because that is who He is. David says in Psalm 118, verses 28 and 29, you are my God, and because you are my God, I will exalt you and give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithfulness endures forever. Perhaps this morning you're hurting. Perhaps you feel afraid. Perhaps tomorrow is Monday again. Call out to Him, cry out to Him. If you're hurting today, just tell Him you're hurting. If you're mad, tell Him you're mad. Wouldn't you tell your best friend if you were absolutely furious about a thing? He can handle it. He's not made of glass. God would rather you yell at Him than walk away from Him. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. How do you trust God when everything seems so unstable? How do you trust in Him when you feel anxious and afraid of the coming things? Sometimes I just feel anxious and afraid of my own imagination, concocting things that aren't actually there, which I stopped doing a few years ago actually, but it was a real anxiety issue for me. The moment you feel weak, you say, God, you are my strength. When you feel like the world is unstable, you say, God, you are always faithful. When you feel anxious, unsure, or afraid, you say, God, you are my hope. When you are feeling isolated, alone, or hurting, you say, God, you are always near. You will never leave me. When we mess up, there he is, ready to forgive and forget and love on us abundantly. Do you know God? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? Do you have a name that you go to him with? The one who can take away fear will replace it with peace. The team are going to come and sing, and as they do, take a moment to consider if you're walking in the peace, if you've ever thought of God as being strength, hope, love, faithfulness, and peace, not just having. If you've never thought about God being a mighty warrior who protects the soldiers. I never consider Christianity in the fluffy, sugary sense. To me, as I look out on you guys and all of you that I can't see online, I still imagine you in armor. No tutus here. We are mighty warriors, and he is our God. So this morning, as the song plays, if you'd like to sing, sing, of course. But if this is a moment God is calling you to reflect and take this opportunity. Thanks, Neil.